You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International. Next in line is Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The situation in the counter-terrorism operation zone remains tense, but under control of Ukraine's armed forces. As a result of hostilities, one Ukrainian soldier has been injured. According to Andriy Lysenko, Defense Ministry spokesman, for the past week, the Mariupol sector has been the hotspot.
Найтривожнішою обстановка була навколо Водяного. Там після 11-ї години ворог здійснив обстріл наших позицій.
The most disturbing environment has been around Vodyane. There, the enemy has fired in our positions with big-caliber machine guns and released 4 82-millimeter mines. The enemy forces have also shelled near Hnutove, Lebedinske and Talakivka using small arms and grenade launchers. In addition, the militants have opened fire twice with 120-millimeter mortars against the residential area of Vodyane, where 4 mortar heavy shells have been directed to, said Andriy Lysenko. In the Luhansk sector, militants have fired in Ukrainian positions near the villages of Krymske and Hirske. Near Novotoshkivske, there have been bombardments with small arms and grenade launchers. Near Troitske, the enemy has released 20 shells of Grad multiple rocket launcher. In the Donetsk sector, separatists have attacked the Ukrainian army near Avdiivka using grenade launchers. The OSCE Special Monitoring Mission states that there were about 130 bombings in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions within the period from the 23rd to 24th of October. Also in the Donetsk region, Russian-backed militants threatened the patrol of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission with a big-caliber machine gun. The incident happened on Wednesday morning. The OSCE patrol, consisting of 2 armored vehicles and 6 observers, was stopped by armed men near Verkhnyoshorokivske, controlled by the militants. When the patrol was waiting to go through the checkpoint and continue to move eastward the uncontrolled areas by the Ukrainian government, the mission saw a partially covered B-caliber machine gun. 2 men in military uniform approached the machine gun, reloaded ammunition and directed it onto the first car of the SMM patrol, and then they repeated this action, as observers say. The SMM observers left the area and continued to move into areas beyond the control of the Ukrainian government, as they had planned previously. Also, according to Ukraine's State Border Guard Service, the 17th so-called humanitarian convoy from the Russian Federation invaded the temporarily occupied territories of the Donbas. The truck column crossed the Ukrainian-Russian border at the checkpoints Donetsk and Matveyev Kurgan.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
On Wednesday evening, an explosion occurred nearby the Espresso TV channel in one of the residential districts of Kyiv. As a result of it, 5 people were injured. Among the victims was a member of parliament from the radical party Igor Mosiychuk and political analyst Vitaly Bala. 2 more died, including a deputy's bodyguard, 30-year-old Ruslan Kushnir. Also, 36-year-old Mikhailo Mormel died from an injury. In fact, he was just a passerby who was heading home. Serhiy Knyazov, head of the national police, said on Thursday that the criminals remotely turned on an explosive device mounted on a motor scooter parked near the explosion scene. The equivalent of an explosive device was, according to the preliminary information, about 400-600 grams of TNT, which is quite a lot. According to explosive technicians, it was a self-made explosive device, possibly based on a car signal sound system. The explosion has been classified as a terrorist act. The investigation is being conducted by the Chief Directorate of Ukraine security service in Kyiv and region. Several versions of the explosion in Kyiv are currently under consideration. This is according to Pavlo Kononenko, first deputy prosecutor in Kyiv.
Нам розглядається декілька версій цього злочину. Перша версія – це замах на вбивство Мосійчука.
There are several versions of this crime. The first one is an attempt to kill Mosійчук that was organized by the security services of the Russian Federation. We will talk about actual doers only when we define the criminals. The second version is the political activity of Mosійчук, his public position in the domestic life of our state. And the third version is the attempt to kill Mosійчук on a personal ground. At the same time, the investigation does not reject other versions. There was also a political analyst, Vitaly Bala, at the scene. We cannot help consider this version as well. There could be some problems with him, and we cannot reject the version of an attempt to kill any public or political figure who could be at the Espresso TV channel at that time, said Pavlo Kononenko. Igor Mosійчук is currently in a difficult condition after the surgery. There are no threats to his life. Political analyst Vitaly Bala, who was next to him, got more severely injured. He is now after the surgery as well.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
Russia released two illegally sentenced by the occupational authorities in Crimea deputy heads of the Majlis, Ilmi Umerov and Akhtem Chihaz, on Wednesday evening by sending them to Turkey. According to Refat Chubarov, head of the Majlis of the Crimean Tatar people, only a very strong pressure on Russia forced Putin to agree on the release of Ilmi Umerov and Akhtem Chihaz. Ilmi Umerov was sentenced to a 2-year imprisonment, allegedly because of public appeals to violate Russia's territorial integrity. Akhtem Chihaz was sentenced by Russian court to an 8-year imprisonment. After the annexation of Crimea, the Russian authorities recognized the Majlis of the Crimean Tatar people as an extremist organization and banned its operation. He was arrested in January 2015 for participating in a rally in support of Ukraine's territorial integrity. And on the 9th of October, Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko announced an agreement with Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to coordinate actions to protect the rights and freedoms of Ukrainian citizens in the occupied Crimea. It is clear that many people have been involved to release Ilmi Umerov and Akhtem Chihaz. From the President of Ukraine and presidents of other countries, the leader of the Crimean Tatar people, Mustafa Jamilov, and the leadership of the Majlis of the Crimean Tatar people to relatives and lawyers of Ilmi and Akhtem, as Rifat Chubarov said.
Ми розуміємо, чому їх звільнили через Туреччину, крім того, щоб тут показати, мовляв, що вони йдуть.
We understand why they were released through Turkey, to show here that this is done not for the sake of Ukraine, but of Turkey. This is such a Russian tactic. But moving them beyond Crimea means that they are banned to return to their home now. That means a liberation with the prohibition to live in Crimea. So Ilmi Umerov and Akhtem Chihaz will work in Kyiv until we all come back home to the liberated Crimea, said Refat Chubarov. Petro Poroshenko already talked to the released political prisoner. Today, for millions of Ukrainians who fought, prayed for your release, is an extremely happy day. Not only your families, relatives, the president, the Crimean Tatars, but also all Ukraine is celebrating today as a great holiday, Petro Poroshenko said. I believe that today you have given hope not only to those who fought for your liberation, but to all the Crimean Tatars, that the truth will win anyway, and that we will return Crimea, and that Ukraine will recover, and that we will definitely be together, the president summed up. The European Union called the release as a good news and appealed to Russia to release all illegally detained citizens of Ukraine. This is according to the statement by the spokesperson of the EU External Action Service. The United States Embassy also called on the Russian Federation to release Ukrainian political prisoners, as noted in the US Embassy to Ukraine Twitter page. The message reads, "Congratulations on the release of Ilmi Umerov and Ahtem Chayhoz. Russian occupiers now have to release other Ukrainian political prisoners."
You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
On Wednesday, the season of the London Royal Opera started in Ukrainian cinemas for the first time. This is a joint project of the British Council, Kyiv Music Film and Planeta Kino Cinema Network. Bogdan Zhuk, British Council Project Coordinator, says it will transfer classical and new British performances to the silver screens around Ukraine.
Проект ми організовуємо для того, щоб представити українським глядачам саме провідні театральні постановки Королівської опери Лондона.
We organized the project in order to present to the Ukrainian audience the greatest theatrical shows of the Royal Opera of London. Anyway, it is a big rarity for Ukrainians to see these performances. The Royal Opera of London is one of the leading operas in the world. It presents a new interpretation of the well-known classics, said Bogdan Zhuk. This season begins with showing Mozart's The Magic Flute, bringing viewers to the domain of the Queen of the Night. The classical performance, directed by David McWhicker, opens both sides of Mozart's opera, comic as well as serious. The viewers will dive into the fantastic world of dancing animals, flying mechanisms and bright starry sky. The next show is La Bohème by Giacomo Puccini. The scenes of the Parisian life of the second half of the 19th century come to life on the stage. And on the 29th of November, the choreographic performance of Louis Carroll's book Alice in Wonderland will appear on the screens. The ballet is a bright show with video projections, tap dance and amazing costumes. The opera and ballet show screenings will be held in Kyiv, Lviv, Kharkiv, Odessa and Sumy this season.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
Ukrainian Music Festival kicked off on Monday in Stockholm. The event, titled Rethinking Europe, Ukraine, is the first ever Ukrainian classical music festival organized in Sweden. In addition to acquainting the Swedish public with Ukraine's musical treasures, the festival has a special focus on children, since they are the ones who will shape the future of Europe, organizers believe. For 2 evenings, 2 big concert halls in Stockholm will be filled with 150 young talents from Sweden and Ukraine, including the oldest Ukrainian children's choir Shchedrik and young soloists, prize winners of international competitions. Co-founder of the Responsible Future Cultural Initiative Center NGO, Клавдія Шевелюк, comments.
Це буде 2 дні. Хор Щедрик буде співати в Еріксон Хален, і 24-го буде великий концерт.
This will be a 2-day event. First, children's choir Щедрик will perform at the Erik Eriksson Hallen Concert Hall, and on October 24th there will be a gala concert at the Stockholm Concert Hall, where the awarding ceremonies for the Nobel Prize are held annually. We expect a very broad audience, diplomats who are interested in what is happening now in Ukraine, those who are indifferent to the future of our country, and it is very important for us to talk about war in a peaceful manner. Our musicians will be performing works written exclusively by Ukrainian composers, those whose works are not performed very often on the international stages, yet their works makes us proud of having such great musicians as Miroslav Skorek, Valentin Silvestrov and Mykola Lysenko, said Клавдія Шевелюк. Many of the children participating in the festival had to leave their homes because of the war in eastern Ukraine. Now they are given the opportunity to show their talent in Sweden and perform with the best Swedish and Ukrainian musicians. The festival also seeks to create relations between children coming from different countries by enabling them to share their experiences and strive towards a greater understanding between various cultures with the help of music as a paramount unifying factor.
And with that, we end Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.